Jackson County is a county of more than 200,000 people and one jail. Individual city lockups all closed years ago, so all people arrested and waiting for trial go to the Jackson County Jail in downtown Medford. And it ran out of capacity a long time ago. Its overnight population is capped by court order at 315 people. A plan for a new jail in North Medford has been laid out. It would hold more than twice as many people as the current jail, and the plan calls for the formation of a special taxing district to provide funding for the jail. The county commissioners will take public comments at the regular board meeting in Medford tomorrow morning at 9:30 with an eye on a May vote on the jail district. Two guests join us in the studio coming at this from somewhat different angles. Nathan Sickler is the Jackson County Sheriff. He has the details on the jail plan. Sheriff Sickler, thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me.
Darby Stricker is the mayor of Talent, small city north of Ashland, who can talk about why her city's council opted not to take part in the vote for the jail district. Mayor Stricker, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning. And I was recently married. It is now Darby Ayers.
Whoops, I am so sorry. Okay. That was old habit there. I wrote it down out of the top of my head, not off the piece of paper here.
That's so okay. I still answer to it.
Appreciate that. So Nathan Sickler, let's start with you and talk about what the usual population figures for this county would indicate in the size of a jail.
Well, as I've been looking into the need for a criminal justice system, you know, our county's grown, but our jail capacity has also grown as well. We have a lot of factors, I think, here in Jackson County that really show the need for a new facility. One is the age of the facility. You know, it's going to be 40 years old this next year as far as being opened. The design is antiquated. It's a linear design. It's multi-stories. Which are inefficient to run. It's got an elevator for up and down transport, and those things are not generally reliable or considered the safest or best way to do business. But the most important thing is it's just undersized. We have a lot of forced releases, and when you look at what a forced release is that means somebody comes into our jail and we have to release somebody else because we're at capacity. And those things really contribute to, in my opinion, recidivism, strain on the criminal justice system, and really do the offender a disservice because they're frequently kicked out without any planning or any services wrapped around them, and then they go out and reoffend. So we victimize the community. The individual often, commits additional offenses, potentially gets other charges, and then really ends up back through the system over and over and over again until they've gone down a path that warrants more significant intervention through the criminal justice system when maybe we could have headed that off early. And so we do a lot of things that are pretty innovative here in our county, but we do need more resources. We need more social services too. I don't think anyone would debate that. But from my perspective, as in the criminal justice system, the jail is really not serving our needs.
So the design here, and aside from the design of the jail itself, which we can get into, is hinges upon the design of a taxing district. You're not talking about just using additional taxes from the whole county, or what's the plan?
Yeah, it's a service district is what it's called. And there's different ways you can fund that. You could do a bond for just construction. You could do a operating levy, which is a short-term funding stream. But a service district created will essentially impose a permanent tax rate increase on the homeowners' property values, and that will enable us to
not just homeowners,
all property owners. It'll enable us to not only build the jail, but also operate the jail. There's a significant operating cost for these facilities. You know, our current facility, I think we operate at around a $14 million budget a year. Obviously, with a new facility with more staff, more medical needs, more mental health having more mental health services, addiction services, and just a larger building, we're going to increase our operating costs. And currently, we don't have the means to support that within our current taxing revenues.
So what were you seeking from the cities around the county? You just wanted the cities to essentially sign off on taking part in this?
Well, yeah, essentially what we went is we asked them to adopt a resolution essentially consenting to allow their jurisdictions to be entered into the district and then have their citizenry vote on this issue in May if it gets to the ballot. You know, we still have the step. The commissioners still have to take public comment, review everything tomorrow, and then there's another meeting a few weeks later. And so they could decide not to ultimately send us to ballot. But if they do, the purpose of the city's going first was to consent to going into this service district.
So Darby Ayers Flood, talk about the conversation that took place among Talent City councilors and the direction that took.
Sure. Well, you know, to add a little context, it might be easy to talk about what the voters will be voting on in May. And so this taxing district, this separate and permanent taxing district, will be controlled by the funding will be controlled by the county commissioners and the county administrators. It's the money that's raised by this district will only be allowed to use on the jails specifically. And you know, County Administrator Danny Jordan says that this will be used to build a jail that will be three times the maximum capacity. So it goes from 315 capacity beds to 896 possible. So it'll raise county property taxes more than 40%. Currently, county portion of property tax is $2, and by adding 87 cents, it'll take it up 40%. The jail itself will cost as much as $1 billion over 23 years to build and operate. And that's money that could be used for the kinds of services that Sheriff mentioned, addiction treatment, mental health services, affordable housing, and transportation. All of those things identified recently in a report for county or community health improvement. So those are important to this picture. What Talent was looking at was joining the district, the taxing district itself. And that's the only question that was before us. And basically, the state law requires each city to approve or not approve participation in the jail-only taxing district. And it was a split vote. And some of the things that I considered were the poll, the survey that the county...
As mayor, you only vote when there's a tie in town.
That's
right.
Yeah. Exactly. And so there was a tie, just like in Phoenix. But my vote was to vote no. And one of the primary considerations for me was the survey that the county commissioned for this process, which showed that 71% of the voters opposed this taxing district, and that was across all political parties. It was both homeowners and renters, you know, Medford and Ashland, significant opposition.
Where'd the survey come from?
It was commissioned by the county at the beginning of the process. I think they hired a third-party DHS services, I think was the DHC or something.
I can't remember the vendor. It was up north. It was the same group that did
Davis
the service
Hibbets.
On the libraries back when they did the library bonds and levies.
Mm-hmm.
The same group that did that survey.
Yeah, and with that kind of opposition, it really demonstrated to me that there was a lot of concerns out of our community that are broadly shared all across the county. I've been talking to a people, not just in Talent, but in Ashland and Medford and throughout the county, and they're just there's a lot of no votes out there, and that was all part of what my consideration, plus some of the things I had mentioned earlier, the fact that it's a 40% increase, that it can only be used for jail, that a jail-only proposal is very concerning when there are so many underlying issues that the county really needs to look at comprehensively in an overall plan in order to really solve these issues that are plaguing our community and communities around the nation.
This is the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about plans for the Jackson County Jail. The county commissioners will take input at a public hearing tomorrow morning at their regular meeting in Medford. We have Darby Ayers Flood, the mayor of Talent, whose city council opted not to take part in the move toward a vote on a taxing district. Nathan Sickler is Jackson County Sheriff with all the details on the jail plan itself. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Sheriff Sickler, let's talk about size then, because
sure.
we're 800 is the minimum we're talking about here, right?
Yeah,
for beds in the jail.
When we had DLR come in, their architect firm, mm-hmm. and they do feasibility analysis assessments for these types of facilities. And when we, me and my jail commander sat down, the jail is going to be about 796 beds in our concept right now. We're in about two almost 400 bed pods or housing units. And really what that means, that translates to about a 650 capacity. Because when you run a jail, you don't want to fill it, right? And for a lot of reasons. One is just operational facility, safety, best practices, classification. So all along, you know, we've budgeted, and this was made very public, for a capacity of 700 at the max. So we've never even talked about running over 700. But our 650 will be our target population as of right now. So, yeah, I think when Mayor talked about was when this first came out way back when we first talked about even spending money on the study and, you know, mentioning this to the commissioners, Danny Jordan said, you know, we could probably triple the size of the jail and run it for, you know, this number of staffing because of more efficient process. And that was at a time when they were throwing out numbers like 1,000 bed jail. But when it came right down to it and you start looking at it and actually, you know, putting a design together and see what was feasible and affordable and reasonable, it's more like 800 beds with about a 650 operating capacity. So we're really going to about double our population with this new facility.
And when you have the actual capacity up to 796, does that allow for some future growth? I mean, is that when is, I guess what I'm asking is, when does that max out? Do you figure by 2030, 2040, you're out of space again?
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of things that are going on across the country, and there's other things to be aware of. I think
demographic changes, for example.
Well, just that, and I mean, there's talk of criminal justice reform in many areas. I think there's a lot of programs that we can implement to support the criminal justice system. But the, you know, the bottom line is we're so upside down now with our criminal justice system, any of those programs are going to have little to zero effect, in my opinion, on what we're dealing with. We have an unusually high crime rate in our area. I mean, when you look at how many criminal cases are filed across the state of Oregon, Jackson County, we filed more felony cases through our circuit court here than every single county but Multnomah. So we're, you know, a quarter of their population, and we're just a couple thousand cases underneath them, felony, but more than every other county in the state. So it's very busy. You know, we have when you talk about high risk offenders, now these are offenders who are through the system or been arrested and gone to community justice or parole and probation, which means they've been convicted or have adjudicated their cases and are still in the criminal justice system. High-risk offenders take a lot of effort to maintain, and they're not going to succeed just with mental health help or just addiction service. They need more than that. They need criminal justice intervention. We have the second most amount of high-risk offenders. Again, we're just behind Multnomah County. So when you look at it per capita, we're 40% of our parole and probation individuals are considered high-risk. Most counties are around 15, 17. I think one's 23. But, you know, we're up there, and those individuals need this bed space. They're not gonna succeed, or very likely that they may not succeed with just other services. So we have a lot of needs here. And well, I don't disagree that we do need mental health services to be bolstered. We need addiction services to be bolstered. We need the jail services to be bolstered too.
Let's talk about the money here. Mayor Ayers Flood mentioned 87 cents. That what I see in your paperwork from last year is 8353. Is that the actual?
Yeah. So that was
a little under about 84 cents a thousand. So for a house that's got an assessed value of $200,000, it's $167 a year.
Yeah. So you know what that. Yeah. And the rate has gone up slightly because every year we have to account for a potential increase in construction costs, which average inflation is about 5%. So when you talk about a project this big over the last 6 months, because we came before the city 6 months prior, estimated the project's now about $4.5 million more expensive. So the slight rate increase, and then when didn't include talent within the district, that raised the rate for everybody else. So that's the 87 cents now. And figured just recently looked at the SAL table from the assessor's office. It's going to cost the average homeowner in Jackson County or property owner about 47 cents a day.
47 cents a day.
Yeah,
okay.
That's about what the cost means on average. Now, obviously, if you have property that exceeds the average, you know, the average cost, it'll go up. You have property that costs less, it'll be lower. But the average home value in Jackson County or property value is X, and that's going to cost about 47 cents a day.
Which, you know, comes out to about 15 bucks a month, thereabouts. So
yeah, it's like $3.50 cents a week. Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah, so you can divide it a bunch of different ways. Yeah. So we're talking about the Jackson County jail plans with the Sheriff Nathan Sickler. Darby Ayers Flood is the mayor of Talent, and here's a call from Gretchen in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I hear about all the high-risk offenders. I also know that there's a lot of people who are incarcerated related to mental health, and I'm wondering, have you explored any other alternatives to fund some kind of mental health infrastructure that still allows you to increase your space and do upgrades to the jail? And if you could speak to like what quantities, not just the high risk, but like what the non-high risk, like the numbers that we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for that, Gretchen. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll try to, if I can try to break that down.
So let me ask, if is there anything specific though within this jail plan that goes directly to people who have specific mental health and perhaps substance abuse issues?
Yeah, so... our current allocation for, say, medical services, which do include mental health services, we currently have two qualified mental health professionals, or QMHPs is the acronym, working in our jail. So we have about 80 hours a week of service, and we have a 6 hours psychiatric prescriber. And with our current allocation is about $718,000 out of my budget to provide these services. We're going to increase that in the new jail proposal to about $4.3 million the first year. So we're really going to bolster not only our mental health services within the facility, but some transition care coordinators, essentially people who can help individuals who have come into the system move out and get linked up with services as they leave our facility. And those are things that we don't have the opportunity to do now because of resources and budget and then time and space. So we're really going to focus on providing a better service in the facility and then trying to really link up with services on the outside as they're leaving our facility.
Darby Ayers Flood, were there specific things that the Talent City Council wanted to see that it didn't see in the proposal?
Well, I mean, I I've had an opportunity to speak to a lot of people across the county, and one of the things that I had an opportunity to do through this process is observe through presentations put on by NAMI, the National Alliance of Mental Illness, and as well Rogue Action Center, who brought communities like the CAHOOTS program that they have in Eugene. Also, Marion County has an acronym CORT community. It's basically crisis response in both communities. And what we learned is that there's emerging programming that's happening in communities that are designed to kind of off-ramp people before they go to jail and get them to those services before they go to jail. There's no argument that there is a large population that are cycling in and out of our jails, just like every other community. And those are low-risk, nonviolent offenders that could benefit from services on the front side rather than cycling them into the most expensive option, which is jail.
How much would that be up to the individual municipalities, though, to handle those programs? Because it's not just the sheriff that arrests people and puts them in the jail. It's also the city of Medford, city of Talent, city of Ashland, et cetera.
Yeah, and that's something to look at. I mean, that's really what we're asking for, is let's pump the brakes a little bit. I suspect, like so many, that this won't pass in May. And my hope is that on the other side of it, the sheriff's department, the county, the communities, cities, we all get together and talk about organizing these types of responses and really fix the, get to some solutions that are fixing those issues of what is described as a broken justice system.
Let's take another call. Derek and Talent, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We have Darby Ayers Flood and Sheriff Nathan Sickler with us.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I guess I would ask this question or open it up for comments to both your guests, because one thing that really concerns me looking at the numbers the county provided on the jail project on the website through the sheriff's office is that Jackson County is on the higher end of bookings per 1,000 residents. We're higher than Lane, Multnomah, and Marion County. And my assumption is that the bed need projections are based on bookings as well as population growth. And so it just doesn't make sense that the county is basing this bed need on what appears to be inefficiencies that through their process of calculation. And that's a concern because you're spending a great deal of money that you don't need that is essentially eating up the capital for some of the diversion services prior to getting in jail.
Okay, we're running out of time, Derek. I want to get a response from the sheriff before we have to end the discussion.
Yeah, there's many factors that go into the size. You know, we looked at building a 500-bed, a 600-bed, 700, you know, all these things. And, you know, ultimately we lined out at about 800. And one of those are economy of scale. You know, when you have a project of this size, you don't want to build something that just meets the need of today, right? You want to look at to the future as well, especially with an investment this big. You know, we're looking at a 50-year building at these points. That's what jails are considered, at least 50-year buildings. And so, you know, you look at what do you need right now, and we have a considerable amount of high-risk offenders and repeat offenders. We have individuals who come in and out of the jail, and there's several hundred. I think we had 365 offenders who constituted 300 lodgings. And so DLR did an assessment based on days in custody, and it was a pretty rudimentary thing, but said we needed about 750 beds, I believe. And so, you know, we look at what those numbers. I think the National Institute of Corrections said we needed about 650 beds back in 2006. And then so we look at what we think we can use today, what will sustain us over time, economy of scale, because, you know, you build 400 beds. That's almost what we have now, and we'll spend maybe $130, $140 million and then provide no real relief to the criminal justice system. So, you know, for us, it's about being smart for today and for the future, and that went into part of the reason for the bigger facility.
Almost out of time. Darby Ayres Flood, if this does make it to the ballot in May, will people in Talent not see the formation of the jail district on their
you
ballots?
Know, I'd like to address the former question a little bit. You know,
at about 15 seconds.
Yeah, at 61 per thousand in Jackson County, you look at Eugene where they have 35 per thousand in the CAHOOTS program, they're saving $15 million a year by responding to crisis calls in a non-enforcement way. That's the kind of thing that I want this county to look at as a comprehensive plan.
Something other than a jail this big. So if it's on the ballot in May, not visible to Talent folks?
Not visible to Talent folks.
All right. Yeah. So Darby Ayres Flood is the mayor of Talent. Nathan Sickler, Jackson County Sheriff. Hearings
Thanks
tomorrow at 9:30
us.
Before the commissioners. Thanks for being here.